Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey you, welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
I'm wife.
And together we're reading the Bible.
Starting with Genesis and eventually ending with Revelations, we're working through every book and offering our atheist 2 cents.
Or shekels.
Yeah, those. We're asking questions and pointing out all the nonsense.
We aren't academics or scholars.
Nope. In fact, when it comes to religion, we really don't know anything at all.
What we've learned so far is that God's a dick.
Oh, he really is, isn't he? If you're interested in how we reached this startling conclusion, maybe start from episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in anywhere. It's all good.
Yep.
Hey wife, did you know that Anchor is sponsoring our show?
Really? Don't we use Anchor to distribute our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, and we are on just about every other platform available as well, thanks to them.
Why do we use Anchor as our podcasting service?
Well, they make editing and distributing our show a breeze.
What if one of our listeners wants to start their own podcast?
Then they should head over to anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
Awesome! You guys should go do that right now! Hey, husband!
Hey, wife!
Are you ready for a Q&A?
I am.
It is Saturday.
It is.
And our Q was from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 22. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them.
Now hey, wait. I recall we had 2 questions.
Oh, we did. But this is an intro, and I wasn't going to talk about it in the intro. But I guess I will. Okay. So the other question was from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 29. You must pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal.
I think we're holding off on that one because there was a lot of info on the first one.
Correct.
So yeah. We're going to do that one as a special episode, maybe at the end of Deuteronomy or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. This other question was a lot more involved.
Got it. All right. So we're going to be learning about the 70 fucking Israelites then, huh?
Yes and no.
Okay. Well, we're learning something. Anyway.
We're learning something.
All right. Sounds great. Let's go learn shit.
Okay, so the question was, wait, what, 70 people?
Right? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And then that kind of goes hand in hand with the thing that you mentioned at one point that stuck in the back of my noggin. Were the Israelites actually ever even in Egypt?
Right. Yeah. It was just something I found in passing when I was researching something else. So.
Yeah. So when I was researching this, I came across that question and I was like, wait. And I was getting Egypt and Canaan confused for a minute.
Okay.
And so I kind of wanted to step back a second. Before we talk about how many people there might have been, let's talk about, were there even any of them? Right?
Right. I mean,
so
as far as the Bible is concerned, this kind of makes a big difference things.
Yeah. So the answer is yes and no.
Okay. All right.
So there were lots of people in Egypt from all over the place because Egypt was a land of plenty during times of famine because the Nile would flood seasonally.
So
lots of people came from all over. I mean, we know that from the Bible as well. I mean,
sure.
Remember the story of Joseph and his coat, and he was sold by his brothers into slavery, and, you know, he became the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And I am going somewhere with this is why I'm bringing up that story.
Sure. And just from history itself, it's been the birthplace of a lot of civilization. I mean, that's where, you know, civilization, a lot of it came from. So.
Right. But not during this time period.
Sure. No, I.
Okay. So that gets into, remember how Joseph's brother sold him into slavery?
Yeah.
That is a reason that, another reason that there were a lot of people in Egypt at that time, because neighboring what do you want to call them? Civilizations, groups, towns, cities,
right?
Neighborhoods.
Yep.
They would sell people as slaves slavery to Egypt, in order to stay in the Pharaoh's good graces.
Got it. So the Pharaoh had slaves.
He had slaves. Yes. Okay. From all over the place.
Right. Not just Israelites.
Like, not to downplay Israelites or any Jews of any type, but they were nothing special insofar as being slaves in Egypt.
Right. And to be fair, what the fuck was an Israelite before they were in Israel anyway?
Right.
Like, how do you define an Israelite before they were Israelites?
That is exactly the point that the question gets to.
Got it.
Was, how do you define an Israelite?
Right. Before Israelites existed.
Yeah. So there were Canaanites in Egypt.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were there both because they were starving or because they'd been flooded out or, you know, whatever. And they were also there as slaves.
Got it.
So that's why I say yes and no.
Okay.
So there were also some Semitic slaves present in Egypt.
Okay.
However, most critics say that there is no archaeological evidence of a specific Semitic tribe worshiping specific Yahweh in Egypt.
Got it. So as far as actual evidence is concerned, there exists none. Little to none.
I would say yes and no is the real answer.
Okay. I mean, there were Semitic people in the slavery ridden area of Egypt in that time frame.
Yes. I would say
that they were the Israelites and that they did all this might be a huge stretch.
Right. a huge stretch. And I really, really liked one of the articles that I read. I believe it was a Nat Geo interview that likened it to how a tribe of people, a culture of people have a collective memory that turns into something that bears the resemblance of truth. For example, sure. The example that this particular person gave was the way we Americans today ascribed for many decades heroic prowess to George Washington and the founding fathers.
Right, right.
And, you know, if it went unchecked for hundreds of years,
it could become almost religious in fervor.
And for example, also, there are many people who claim to have relatives that came over on the Mayflower. That is like our magical, like,
origin story.
Origin story, yeah. Right. And so there is some truth to it, but historically versus cultural remembrance, the line is very, very gray.
Right.
And
certainly I'm guessing there's no written occurrence or archaeological evidence of any plagues summoned by a person named Moses.
No, that is correct. That is correct. Moreover, there were several exoduses from Egypt in small numbers.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. They wanted to escape slavery, or they had the grass is greener.
Sure.
And so all of these different cultural stories came together. Now, one of the questions also that we had was in Exodus chapter 12:37, it stated that 600,000 men on foot besides children went out from Egypt. Like, that was the great Exodus story.
I was like, what, 70?
Yeah.
The
no.
Fuck?
Well, the question was, God started out with 70 people in Egypt and turned them into a fucking nation of what would equate to 2 million people leaving.
Oh.
Okay. So he's saying 70 people started and I turned you into a nation of 2 million people who left Egypt.
Oh.
And that's not...
That's not true.
That's not true at all. Like, because that would be a quarter of the population, and there is zero record of a quarter of the population of Egypt leaving.
Right, right.
We would find that not just in historical records of peoples, but in the way that supply routes and slave records and the workforce, and like, there would be more than just this one story.
So the way the Bible claims it, it does not, that is definitely did not happen that way.
It didn't happen that way.
Okay.
Which isn't to say, again, it's not to say that there weren't Jewish slaves in Egypt.
Well, it's easier for me to believe 70 people left than fucking 600,000 or whatever.
Right. So, but going back to what I was saying, there were Jewish slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
But not how the Bible describes. And there were exoduses from Egypt, but not how the Bible describes.
Right.
And I thought that was like, holy moly. Like, I never understood that for that many people to have left all at once would have actually impacted the entire society in such a way.
Right.
It would be like if a quarter of the population of America left.
Right.
That's going to be more than just a cute little story that we turn into.
Yeah, that's like, you can't even deal with that. That's,
right.
That's...
But similarly, if we were to take as many people today as claim relatives came over on the Mayflower.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people would have had to be on the fucking Mayflower?
How many?
Like, thousands.
Okay.
Thousands of people.
Well, that's easier to believe than the claims of the Bible.
Right, right.
The claim of the Bible is very strong and very many, and there's no fucking way. Even if you... Okay, so recap me real quick, because I don't know if I completely grasped the 70, the 600,000, and the 2 million thing that you were discussing.
So there were all kinds of different people in Egypt. Many of them came from Canaan.
Okay.
But they also came from many other places.
Right.
Okay. So God is saying, you started out as a nation or as 70 people, and I turned you into a nation.
While they were in Egypt?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was failing to understand. Yeah. So, okay. So they started out as 70 in Egypt, and then mm-hmm. while in Egypt,
yeah.
turned into 600,000?
Right. Which would be, because that's in numbers, it talks about how many people left.
Sure.
It would have been 2 million people, because numbers was just the soldiery people.
Oh, okay.
That count okay. doesn't include the wife and children.
Okay.
And their slaves and their indentured servants.
That's what I wasn't understanding. Okay, so yeah. the counts were based on the soldiery people, so the total count would have been closer to 2 million.
Right, which would have been a quarter of the population of fucking Egypt.
Definitely would have been recorded in Egyptian history.
Right.
Like, now, there's no fucking way that didn't get recorded right. if that happened.
Now, having said that, Egypt, the pharaohs at the time,
yeah.
were really, really, really excited to never record losses. But
civilization would have fucking fallen apart.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to not record that, because shit would have gone south
right.
real quick.
And what is on record, I didn't record the guy's name, but there was a pharaoh at that particular time who had just won and the leadership,
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
And so at the time that they left, this dude was doing all kinds of stuff. So there's questions about chronology. They're saying that maybe this exodus took place, but it's about like 600 years off from when it might have happened.
Oh,
but
so then, there was a big exodus at some
but
point?
But then even, no, they're okay. saying maybe they're talking about this time period, but even that doesn't line up with other events that happened.
Okay.
So there's a question of chronology in trying to even say, okay, if this happened,
right.
if this happened.
If we're going to pull this all together and make this work in right. any sense at right. all.
If 2 million people ever just 1, 2, 3 go marched out of Egypt, could it have happened here? Could it have happened then? No.
So the origin story of the Bible and Exodus is bunk, essentially.
As told, yes. Were there exoduses? Yes. Were there slaves in Egypt? Yes.
Was there the Exodus described in Exodus?
Not as such. Described. No.
Right?
No. I'm trying to be very generous, because a people's collective memory is different from a historical black and white context.
Right, but this sounds more like 70 people turned it into 600,000 people in their minds and not by God.
In their minds? I mean, again, okay.
What if 70 people left and then fucking, you know.
It didn't say 70 people left. It said
right.
that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, what if 70 people left and then, you know, grew in population over time, and that number in their head, collective memory again, grew, you know, to mean something else. And then, so, I mean, it was a telephone story that got handed down, and the bigger fish story got handed down over and over again. And by the time it got to the fucking Bible, it was just like...
Particularly bleh. When they hit, like, the Moabites,
yeah.
where they were there for quite some time.
Yeah.
The Moabites apparently had a god, or worshipped a god similar in spelling to Yahweh.
Huh. Interesting.
With, you know, how they spell it with, like, the vowels missing?
Yeah.
Well, theirs also had... the final letter H off of it.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Like Yahweh would be Y W H A or some shit like that. I don't know how they
sure,
do it.
Sure.
It's a four letter word. Okay.
Yeah.
Yahweh is a four letter word.
Got it.
The one in Moab was only three letters.
Okay.
But
similar spelling.
Three of the four letters.
Got it.
That was Yahweh.
Got it.
So, and started with the why.
Much like there was other tribes, like the Asherah poles that we talked about, and the
yes,
like there's crossovers between all this shit back then.
Yes,
that who knows what they were talking about exactly.
Exactly,
like, and who knows yeah. where everybody really came from and what they really did, and
right
stories just got fucking turned into something.
And they picked up people along the way who also were seeking freedom, and so they became this collective. Civilization of lots of different people.
Sure.
And so to differentiate themselves, like in Canaan, to differentiate themselves from Because basically they were Canaanites.
Right.
To differentiate themselves from the other Canaanites, they had to claim this story of humble beginnings to show that, see, we have the right of it. We have these value systems and these customs that come from God. And so they had to create all of this together.
I mean, I would assume that there's a possibility that these, and again, this is just me guessing, but I mean, given that the slaves came from Canaan and stuff like that a lot of the time in those days, my guess is that they could have come from the tribes that worshipped these other gods at some point, but when they were slaves for so long, they might have adopted other views based on trying to differentiate themselves from the Egyptians, and then by the time they left again, their views were different from the people that they had originally come from.
Exactly.
And that they felt the need to differentiate themselves strongly against them because they were separate. They were different.
Exactly. So
maybe. I mean, again, you know, this is, we're talking about a story that may not have even really happened. So
right. It kind of reminds me of a science fiction story where these humans go off into space and they have all these adventures and do all these things. And then over the centuries, they decide to come back to Earth.
Right.
And they're still humans, but are they, though? Because they're entirely different from the humans that they left behind.
Right, right.
And that's kind of what we have here, is a group of Canaanites who left Canaan for various reasons, became slaves like everybody else in Egypt, and then when they returned to Canaan, they were no longer the same Canaanites.
Well, it would also, I mean, it would lend to why it was so easy for them to adopt ways of pagan, quote-unquote, religions and things like that, because they were part of their collective history as well at some level.
Yes.
And maybe even readopted as they collected people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
I mean,
re-explained, reappropriated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were basically no less colonizers than the Egyptians who colonized them in the first place.
Right.
You know,
again, if any of this was true.
Well, it is true that people were sold into slavery.
Right, right.
From Canaan to Egypt.
I'm just
saying. And it is true that people left Canaan to return to Egypt.
Right, right.
So, I mean, if you're looking at bare bones, if that story's true, parts of it are.
Sure.
On a very smaller scale.
Kind of. The Bible definitely blows this out of proportion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah. You got anything else about that?
No, I think that's pretty much covers it. I'm still trying to put it all together in my head and make it. I don't know, like, you're wanting a definitive black and white, did it happen or didn't it? And, like, I could tell from your expression that you're, like, not happy with my gray answer.
No, it's not that. I'm just trying to, like, obviously there's a lot more research that could be done on this subject, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound like, to me, from what you have stated, it doesn't sound very likely that the Exodus story is true in any way whatsoever. Other than the fact that maybe some people left, and that's about it. Like, there definitely wasn't 600,000 fucking soldiers leaving with
much
2
less
million people total.
Right.
That fucking didn't happen.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
And moreover, 1 million people didn't leave either, because that would have been recorded too. And that would have caused a dent in their society.
Right.
Like, even if you keep cutting it in half a couple more times, it more than likely didn't happen, you know?
Right.
So it would have, it might have been a bigger than normal exodus. Maybe, let's give them 50 or 60,000, right? Maybe.
Maybe. That's being generous.
Right, that's being generous.
Yeah.
But it was definitely not anything like described in the Bible.
Right.
And, you know, the Bible is pushed on us as true, as valid, as historic,
right,
by people who want to push the Bible on us. And
that's fair.
I'm just saying that is definitely not the case. This is not a historic record of what happened based on the research that we've done here.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Is that fair?
That is fair. That is fair.
Okay.
I'm like I said, I'm trying to reconcile a black and white answer with a gray answer.
No, I get it. I'm just trying to put this, I guess, you know, I don't like the Bible and I don't like, so far, obviously.
Right.
And I don't.
You don't want to be, you're not inclined to be forgiving.
I'm not inclined to be forgiving. And I'm not inclined to be forgiving because generally speaking, religious people that I come across are not forgiving.
Right.
They are very adamant that this is real. This is for sure the way it happened. No, this definitely is written in the Bible. God said so. It's true.
I completely agree with you.
No.
I completely agree with you. But if I wanted to get into a discussion with a Bible thumper, I wouldn't want to say that didn't happen, period, the end. I would want to say, you know, the, well, actually,
right.
And, you know, say the way it didn't happen the way that you're saying it did.
Well, I guess, so anytime you call out a Bible thumper mm-hmm. and say, you're wrong about this, this is actually what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. They're gonna reprove you wrong based on religious text or whatever. It doesn't fucking matter.
That is absolutely true.
And so you can say whatever you want to say. They're still going to disagree with you and say you're wrong.
That is true. I guess I just want to be able to give the most accurate answer so that I know that what I have said, whether it convinced them or not, is irrelevant.
Right.
I wouldn't want them to be able to come back and say, well, yes, it did. You know what I mean? Like, the accurate answer is it didn't happen the way it's described in the Bible. Not that it didn't happen at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's fine.
I know. I'm frustrated.
No,
this is a frustrating topic because
It is. Because it's a basis of a large part of what we've read so far.
Right.
And so I am looking for that, you know, aha, okay, that didn't happen. And when they said 70 in the Bible, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Right.
And okay, but you're telling me that it's definitely not true. Like the way the Bible says it happened. It did not happen
the way the Bible says it happened.
So that in itself makes me kind of happy.
That's fair enough.
But, you know, that's about as much as I got out of this, I guess. So,
yeah.
And we've said this a million times, but there's just so much more. We could spend our whole lives digging into this.
Oh, I know.
Deeper,
I know.
In deeper detail. And there's people on Twitter that, like, they're just people that have spent 20, 30 years of their lives studying the Bible and studying bits about the Bible. And they know way more than I do. Mm-hmm. Way more than you or I do.
Oh, sure.
But why? Like, this is enough for me, right?
Absolutely.
I can move on and say, okay, that probably is not true.
Right, but I'm good. There's a reason that I didn't get to the second question.
Yeah.
And it was because it took me almost 2 hours
to come up with this information.
To come up with this information in such a way as that it made sense to me. Like, I had to look at a map because I didn't understand.
Right.
The path they took. Yeah, the path they took. And what do you mean that neighboring areas sold? Like, I didn't understand where Canaan and Egypt were in relation to each other because I suck at geography.
Sure.
And I wanted to understand who was where. And so it took me close to 2 hours to understand just this. And right. I'm good now. Like, I don't need to look into this any further. I got it now.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I'm right. Good with the information I have. I can say, yeah, that's pretty much not true and move along.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I wanted.
But that's why I didn't get to the other question. So we're going to put that aside as a bonus episode.
Probably at the end of Deuteronomy.
Blessings and curses on mountains.
Yeah, that's weird shit. Yeah. So we'll do that another time.
I thought this was like a much more weighty question.
No, it's cool. It's funny. It was just like an offhanded statement in the chapter that we read, but it turned out to be a lot more in depth, which I'm sure we've passed over so many statements like that.
Oh, yeah.
That it's not even funny, but you know, how much time do we have to devote? It's already going to take us another three and a half years just to finish reading the fucking Bible.
I know.
Let alone delving into every fucking sentence in there.
It's true. It's true. And so, I mean, this was almost 2 hours of my life that I'll never get back. But I feel really happy because I did learn a thing, and you know, it disproved part of the Bible, which made you happy. And
did, definitely.
And so between the two of us, I think we can call it done now.
Let's call it done now.
Done now.
Hey, wife.
Yes, husband.
Did you know that we are now on Patreon?
Yes, because you told me, but also, no, tell me more.
So we're on Patreon now.
Are we?
We are. And our supporters can go there and support us. And we have multiple levels all the way up to You Killed God.
That sounds really drastic and escalated quickly-ish.
Well, no, there's multiple levels before there. So it escalates on a sliding scale of, you know, cheap to not cheap. Oh. But, you know, we can definitely use any amount. So, like, any support is always appreciated.
So what exactly is Patreon?
It's a place where you can show your support for our podcast. And
just our podcast?
Any podcast or any performer. But, you know, we're the ones that, you know, you're listening to right now. So maybe you should, you know, support us. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. But we love you anyway.
So all you got to do is go to Patreon, look up Sacrilegious Discourse. It's actually patreon.com/sacrilegious discourse is our actual main page there. So head on over and send us some love.
Yeah. Husband, it's the end.
It is indeed, wife.
Tell the people where they can contact us.
Well, they can get a hold of us via our email, which is sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. We have Twitter @sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh, why do you know? Why do you keep doing that? Ugh. All right, we have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a Pinterest page. But if you really want to get our attention, Twitter's where it's at.
Twitter is where you're at.
Yeah.
And they should also review, like, and subscribe, yeah?
Definitely. Apple Podcasts reviews help us out tremendously. And we also can use your support on Patreon, which is a great place to support us as well. That would be at patreon.com/sacrilegious discourse.
Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.